Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right.
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of a bitch, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms, your comrade in battle, Sean Kwali. I'm broadcasting live once again to you from the hells and the smells of North America. And I count it a privilege, I count it a joy, I count it an honor, a blessing, and all the good words you can think of in this filthy English language. I count it a blessing anyway to be talking to you, my brothers and my sisters, my comrades, those in this war, and hell, even the enemy listening, and you no good bastards. It is a blessing to be talking to you from this platform we know and consider and love, Black Power Radio, the most hard-hitting, the most unrelenting, the most unflinching, the most uncompromising, revolutionary, pan-Africanist, black nationalist, pro-black militant radio broadcast anywhere in 196,940,000 square miles of this home we call Earth and the globe. We send you Black Power greetings from our national chairman, and in truth, whether you know it or not, whether you consider yourself active in the new Black Panther Party or not, your national chairman, we send you greetings from our big brother and soldier, the attorney at war, the general, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, the national representative of the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who we just celebrated his birthday, and we will never allow that beautiful, bald-headed, bold, courageous warrior, never allow that general to be written out of history, nor forgotten. No matter how much some of you may want it, no matter how much some of you may want to forget, no matter how much some of you may not want to remember, and some of you weak ones don't want to give credit where credit's due, no matter what you got to say, and no matter what you think, the Black Power General, his legacy lives on. His work lives on. His courage lives on. His uncompromising stance of pro-black nationalism lives on. It lives on in the minds and hearts of the new Black Panther Party. It lives on in the minds and hearts of the militant revolutionaries who we touched. It lives on in the minds and hearts of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, those under the leadership of Minister Louis Farrakhan, Minister Silas Muhammad, those in Minister Royale's camp or whoever's camp, it lives on. You cannot curse the spirit of the Black Power General. And so we broadcast to you live in his name, live with his flavor, live with his backing, and live with the blessing of the attorney at war and the man who's on the battlefield, on the battlefront, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. We got a strong show for you tonight, a power-packed presentation tonight. And I don't say that just to put no fluff on it, and I ain't saying that just to hype you up. I'm saying that to be real with you, that we got a real show. Originally scheduled, we wanted to bring our dear brother, one of the progressors and pushers of the slogan that we all use who's in this movement, Black Power. We wanted to bring on our Baba and comrade and soldier, brother and comrade, and really Dr. Mukasa Ricks. He was in the air at a speaking engagement, so he's coming on with us Wednesday. And so don't feel slighted at all, because, hell, this is my eye. We give you a myotic balance. And so we're going to bring you a sister soldier who some of you may not be familiar with, but after this show, I guarantee you, let me say that again, I guarantee you, after this show, you will be familiar with her. You will know her name. When you see her, you'll get to know her face. But further than all of that, you will get to know her actions, her revolutionary spirit, her raising the bloody, blood-stained banner of the Panther in the hills of North America. And hell, in a place where we sorely need it, she's raising it up on the West Coast. For you out there in the West Coast, who's sweethearting with the enemy, for you on the West Coast, who's weak, who's punctified, who's sissified, as the Black Power General taught us, you homogenized, or if you just straight up the white man's nigger, your time is up. Your time is short. We got the bloody, blood-stained, blood-soaked banner of the Black Panther, the new Black Panther Party, is being raised on the West Coast. I'm not even going to give you all the locations right now, but hell, just know that the left coast is on the map. And so let me say this clear. This sister, her name is Sister Kimberly Swan. She got the Panther all in her veins. She got the Panther all in her spirit. She got the Panther all in her soul. The liberation mentality. Hell, even the legacy of the Black Liberation Army, all of that is in her soul, and it's in her heart, it's in her being, it's in her, period. And so when you're listening to her, just know this. Just know that you're not listening to some mealy-mouthed sister. Are you not listening to some old sister who is relegated to just cooking you muffins? And that's all she want to do. Ain't nothing wrong with being a homemaker. But damn, the Panther sisters are throne makers. Don't get it twisted. She's a throne maker. And so, along with her knowing how to rear the children, along with her knowing how to keep house, along with her knowing how to cook, damn it, she know how to load up the chopper and load up the rifle, too. She knows how to read some books and get some political education. She knows how to be in the trenches so that when the pale-faced beast or the white man's Negroes come through the door, she knows how to get them just like the Black man know how to get them. And so I want you all to pay close attention. And we're going to let the National Assistant Sister Amira, she's going to roll on for a little bit. I'm going to come black. I'm going to let the sisters talk. Sister talk. Hell, the sisters got to talk. The sisters are underappreciated in the Black nation. hope you heard me clear. I mean what I'm saying. Our sisters, our women, our queens, our mothers of civilization are underappreciated oftentimes too much in the black nation. Some of you in these organizations, and we have to look even inside our own, you have relegated them to the position that the church puts them in at sometimes. You want them off in the back, off quiet. You don't want them to say nothing. Hell no. That's not the spirit of the Black Power General, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. That's not the spirit of our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And that's not the spirit of a true Panther. And so, we're going to bring her on. And I want you all, wherever you are, in the hells and smells of North America, to pay close attention. Get close to your computers. Get close to that radio dial. Put the phone all the way up to your ear as close as you can and listen to our comrade. Help me to welcome and to bring on, of course, our national assistant, Sister Amira Kwali, and help us to bring on our comrade, soldier, and warrior there on the left coast, the west coast, Sister Kimberly Swan. Black power.
Black power, black power. Thank you, brother, for the beautiful introduction. Hopefully we should have the sister to call in. I don't see anyone on the board just yet, so hopefully she'll give a call in. At any rate, we want to thank everybody for calling in to today's radio show, and I know that we was sadly disappointed about having our comrade in the struggle that helped to coin the Black Power movement as well as the civil rights. He was a part of the civil rights movement as well as the movement for the Black Power movement. But he's definitely a person that I have had the pleasure of meeting at all of our Black Power conferences. So hopefully he'll be black with us on Wednesday. So that's tentative upon his scheduling. So I really, really look forward to that. I hope this is the sister, the area code 415-571, Black Power. You're on Black Power Radio. Black Power. Okay, I guess that wasn't the sister. My mistake. What? So hopefully she will be getting someone to call in.
She's going to call in just a second. I just got word she just got disconnected. She'll call right back in.
Okay.
She's going to come right on.
Okay, well, we're anticipating that to come on and happen. Today will be a great day, a great evening for a Black Power event because I really want to know about her history and how she came about and how her struggle was as a revolutionary child, because I know in reading a lot about our revolutionary children and how that their struggles are different and unlike regular children. I hate to use that phrase, but it's a true statement. So hopefully we could really hear about what she did and how she grew up and how her mother was and how all that worked out and was her father in the movement. I really want to know all of that. Black Power, hopefully this is her on the line. 415-571. You're on Black Power Radio.
Hello.
Black
Hello?
Power. Black Power, Queen.
Hello.
Black Power.
Yeah,
yes,
I don't know what's going on. We have some kind of technical difficulties going on here. How you doing, sister?
I'm doing
I'm like,
great.
Oh no, now, oh no. How you
doing,
sister?
Great. Doing great. You know, as I stated before, we first want you to introduce yourself. We want to know your name and who your mother is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll make it real quick. My name, well, the government name.
No, don't make it real quick.
Kimberly
just talk
Swan.
To black people. Yes, ma'am.
Government name is Kimberly Swan, but the elders give me Queen Nandi X Shaba Shabazz, the daughter of Carolyn Brantley X.
Yes,
she was in the liberation struggle, you know, out here in San Francisco. She come from Houston, Texas. We come out here as a youngin', and, you know, automatically she, you know, got herself involved with the struggle. As growing up, you know, she raised me to not think of, you know, think and act as a slave. You know, I grew up in, you know, raised in public school. Then I had the blessing of going to a Muslim school also, which I thought that was one of the best things that mom could have did for me, because I was able to know about myself at an early age. And, you know, also the you know, the African spiritual system was learned in my household very early too, with, you know, me having a lot of, you know, spiritual and powerful mamas, going from my mama Carol X to my grandmother Lily Mae Brantley. May that ancestor rest. I just lost her not too long. I just gained her more in the ancestor world, but in the flesh world, I just lost her. May she rest with a black fist. You know, I didn't have any strong women in my family. You know, that enabled me to be a very strong woman, hearing the struggle. But seeing what my mother went through, being beat up by the police, my godbrother being released from jail, being shot in the back by the police. We all say police. We call them police. Us mamas here, you know, we call them police. We, you know, seeing the brutality going against my mother and my relatives and other people, that was in the liberation from San Francisco to Oakland, and seeing a lot of dissension caused. You know, they allow for white to cause that and to give them a few little crumbs, and now everybody want to get high, want to get free. But what I actually did was just sign the death warrant, and now we have to, you know, re-educate and resurrect this generation that's underneath us, you know, to keep this thing going. Because now we allowed to slide through the cracks, we're paying for it more than tenfold right now with the blood of our youth being spilled out here. So I take it upon myself to educate the children. And we have a lot of black and brown mamas here at Poor Magazine, and we have a youth scholarship, and we allow for them, if they want to write our girls about what they've been through and their struggles is, and to seek out their ancestral lineage, you know, we make that available for them and to them. So it's all about getting the youth together.
Okay. But tell us more about this program.
I keep going now. We can be here all night.
Yeah, keep going. We got all night. Okay. Now, tell me about... No, I want to know about your program. I want to know more about how the program is run, and does it take... do you have to have donations and different things like that? And how much do you need? We need to talk about
it. Okay, right now, the first thing I ever started, I took it upon myself once I emancipated myself from the streets. I took it upon myself. I started black. I started that in my living room, stand for Black Liberation Agenda Contained by Kids. Because in my neighborhood and a lot of plantations, I say that are nearby, because, you know, this is not our neighborhood. We don't own this land. This land we're renting and giving to somebody, lining somebody else's pocket, educating somebody, our ruler's children. So on the several plantations, I took it upon myself to invite children to look, come into my living room. You want to learn about something, you want to hit something, and you hit somebody, you come on here and hit some of these books in my house. And so I started educating the children, and, you know, it was very much of an enlightenment to them, you know, to know, because a lot of children, sad but true, people think, oh, we know about slavery, get to deal with this. No, there's a lot of children, there's a lot of people, grown folks don't even know with the effects and the cause of the effect of slavery, and that they're suffering from the Willie Lynch syndrome right now. See, Willie Lynch syndrome is kind of like being addicted to crack, alcohol, cigarettes, the same thing. And it's hard for our folks. They don't want to accept it and accept that they got the sickness first. They even want to come together to bring together our attributes for the cure. So what I do is I just take those seeds and I just plant them in them seeds. And those young seeds, and you see their eyes light up when they hear about the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, and, you know, how they did have a nation. We still do have a nation. It's called Mother Africa, and how we were in slavery, enslavement, how we were brutalized, how we were stripped of our real last name and our languages. We have thousands of languages. And see, right now, you know, the children, you know how I say, ironically speaking, I have to tell them, okay, in Africa, set tripping just like we set tripping now. That's what the divide and conquer kicked in. Right. We divide and conquer. There's a set trip, and I don't know your language. I'm from this tribe. I don't know your language, and you're from this other tribe. Let me sell you on Whitey, not knowing that Whitey's going to come back to you, too. And see, we still go through these things. We still have a tendency, especially out here in California, to sell each other out for these little crumbs. And then, you know, they have all these laws that are established for everybody else because of their personal preferences or because of their, what I call, insignificant prejudices. because if you want to be identified as something else or somebody else or whatever, let's get rid of this N-word first that's been here for centuries, which is a very filthy word. See, they always want to throw all these other things that other people are going through over the black experience. Like right now, February, they say it's Black History Month, but they celebrate Chinese New Year. Now, that's why we take it upon ourselves to come up with our own holidays. Things that pertain to our curriculum, our history. See, we're always being covered up by something else or somebody else's struggle, somebody else's distraction, and they want us to support it when it's time for us to be supported. Or everybody, oh, we done with y'all. We just here for the profit. That's why it's up to us to stick together, and that's why I tell the kids, put them guns down. If you're going to point them at the true enemy, first of all.
Exactly.
I can't sit up there and be no hypocrite and tell them, oh, don't hold no guns. When I was a youngster, I carried a gun, too, but I knew who my enemy was. I was out there in the streets, too. And even though I did what I did out there in the streets, I still took it upon myself to still listen to my mama and still read a book when I was out there on that corner. Like I said, we'll be here all night, sister. I'll kick back the whole lineage.
That's why it's called a talk show, a blog talk. So, yes, you're supposed to. But I have a couple of questions because you've mentioned that, about the block. And, I know definitely what that means. And could you please break down how your transformation was basically Islamic to the block to where you're at now? Because you just skipped over a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I skipped over a lot of things apart from my origin, yes. Like I said, how my mother brought me up, I went astray when I graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of homegirls, and I seen Fast Money, and I was like, but at the same time, I'm hearing mama saying, look, you can't be out there on the streets, and you can't be a revolutionary. You got to be re-evolutionary, because it's about change. A lot of things that still need mm-hmm. to be are in the process of change. So she said, you can't do both of these things. So what I kind of did was I went out there, I still ran the streets, and I hustled for my little money. I took care of my family. I made my donations. I helped people. I was like the Robin Hood of the ghetto. I did whatever. That's what it was. I was like the Robin Hood of the ghetto, and I still took it upon myself to educate my mind, even though I chose to lead, go astray, so to speak. And what made me really just come back to who I really was. Okay, I got enough of being whoever that was out there on the streets. But to come back to who my true self was, it took my mother to be on her deathbed. It took for the big boss to say, look, I'm going to become an ancestor, so you can't be out there doing what you're doing no more. You got to be who I raised you to be since you were in the womb. And you have to reconnect with your aunt. You have to connect with your ancestors. You have to get back into your spirituality and tune into your powers and be you. And I said, Mama, I can't do that. She said, oh, yes, she is. She said, because I'm gone. She was ready to go. She was just letting me know these are the things you have to do. And so that's what my transformation to return back. Actually, I already knew who I was. I never detached myself completely from my true self, even when I was at my lower self. So to speak, at my lower self. So then that was the ultimate transformation. Like, you are the leader of this, and leader can't fall. And then once grandmother passed, because she's the most powerful woman in the family, most powerful woman, and look at you and read your mind, that kind of powerful. She was very powerful. Once she left, I said, okay, look, I accept my position. It's just time to know and grow. And that's what each one teach one. It's time to know and grow. And each one teach one. That's just been my thing. So I've just been fighting these demons with that. Look, I'm going to know and grow. I'm not afraid of my enemies. What they going to do to me that they haven't already done?
That's true.
So, as I deal with my personal battle, I deal with my personal battle, everybody else's battle at the same time. It's not a problem because pretty much we're all going through similar things. So I just take it and make that a mighty, mighty fist. And just hit it all at once.
Well, you mentioned at least two powerful queens, within your lifetime that have, really instilled a lot of great values within you. Can you name of any other males possibly that you have had in your life that inspired you just as well, or that kind of steered you in the right path, or?
When I was a little girl, I always wanted to be like Malcolm X. I lined up my teddy bears. I had hundreds of them, too. I lined up my teddy bears. Malcolm X was one of my role models, my role model. Okay, I want to be like him, and my stepfather, too. He was in the movement, too, but I didn't see a lot of what he done in the movement. I just, you know, hung out with moms a lot and, you know, partook in what she did. But Malcolm X was one of the true males, and I really just thought that me and Malcolm X had a strong connection. You see, his birthday, May 19th, my birthday, May 17th. So I said, oh, wow.
Oh, wow. That explains it.
And Mama used to always say, you always sit up there and stand on the milk crate and talk to the teddy bears. How I always spoke upon truth and justice for the people. I always was anti-suffering as a child. I'm still that way to this day. And here I have these no good devils throwing stones at me, telling them that's not the way to be. I know the way to be because I know who I am. Can't nobody take that away from me. I know who I am. These devils in there sit up here telling me the duck is green. I know that duck is yellow. You can't tell me that duck's green. I already know it's yellow, so back up off me with that. But I always wanted to be like Malcolm X. See, I always wanted to be a freedom fighter as a child because I've seen and been through so much suffering in this life. Even when my mother died, I said out loud, when I go to sleep tonight, I don't even want to wake up tomorrow. When I woke up, I knew I had a purpose. No more crying, no more arguing. Talking about, why me? Why? No yelling at the sky, none of that. Just strapped up my bootlaces. I just tied them up real tight and walked on out that door and did what need to be doing. And that's to help resurrecting our people and resurrecting our youth. So I always want to be like Malcolm X. And there's other few ladies that I'd like to, you know, give a shout-out to. Tiny, her name is Lisa Garcia Gray, and her mama Dee. Her mama Dee is an ancestor. So they started Poor Magazine out of their car. And that's one of the affiliates that I deal with San Francisco Bayview. Give a shout-out to J.R., Mary, and Willie,
right.
You know. That's a beautiful, you know, JR does beautiful, fantastic work. Love him. Love Tiny at Poor Magazine. Yes,
mm-hmm.
And we just some, you know, Raza and Black Mamas, we sit here and we took our poverty, we took what we went through and create a curriculum where we go to different colleges and we sit and we teach people about just not poverty, not just what you see on the news. Don't look at the news. Don't look at the reality TV shows or what television shows. And look at that and say, oh, that's what poverty is. No, we're going to give it to you up close and poverty, what poverty is. We're going to give it to you up close and personal, what poverty is, how to be economic racism, you know, sexism, motherism, all these other isms that we go through. Because we go through motherism, we go through sexism, racism, you know, classism, gentrification. We go through all these different things. Tribalism, we go through all these different things. So we did just took it and turn to a curriculum, and then we don't get no support. We don't get no money from nobody because they don't like us telling the truth no way. We say what we can out of our little paychecks, or some mothers don't even have jobs. They save what little money we can. We go, we do stage plays, talking about the struggles of the oppressed people, of the black people, of the brown nation, of the black nation, because that's what it mainly consists of. That's mostly mamas up there. We just black and brown mamas just tired of being silenced and just tell it like it is. And so, you know, there is a very small circle of people that I like to give thanks to, you know, because not everybody is supportive of, you know, one of, you know, enlightening the masses and waking the dead, so to speak.
Well, tell us more about the plays, because you did just mention that. I'm just curious to know, and I'm sure the listening audience would like to know as well.
Okay, we've been doing this for quite some time now, a few years. We do a stage play called Warfare Queens. And, you know, that was coined after Ronald Reagan, you know, about the whole welfare system. You know, a lot of people say that, well, welfare is reparations. Oh, no, welfare is actually designed for white women who were widows at first.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't designed for black, poor black women. Oh, let's just give them some money. Oh, no, they consider your home a broken home. The husband wasn't there. They wanted to remove your children from the household if you was a woman of color and had no husband and you sought aid. So, you know, a lot of people say that, no, that's not reparation, so we just don't clarify that, though. But what Warfare Queens is we took, like I said, what we went through. Like my experiences, I'm a domestic violence survivor, racism survivor, police brutality survivor, infiltration survivor. You know, I said we survive all these, and we do what we do. Not only do we talk about it on the radio or in the news articles, or we do it in the stage play too. So we talk about what the women go through when the children are removed from the home, CPS system. We talk about how much money the CPS system gets when they remove the children from the home and why the babies of color are targeted. We talk about the public school mm-hmm. systems, which we add three S's to that because I say like a snake system. We talk and how important it is for us mamas, especially us mamas of color, to educate ourselves so we can educate our children. Can't nobody educate our children. Mama's the first teacher. And we need to stop, you know, sending these children to these public schools, getting this miseducation, and then we wonder why these children out here killing each other and they're filling up these prisons. Because it's time to get the true knowledge of yourself. And once you do that, their worlds just light right up. But that's what we do. We write plays pertaining to each and every struggle you could think of. Police brutality. We have a couple of brothers who have survived police brutality, like Marlon Crump. Marlon, oh, he's our legal scholar of Poor Magazine, which mm-hmm. he took it upon himself. He helped people fill out their paperwork if they have legal issues, and he took his experience of being almost killed by the police when they kicked down the door of his SRO a couple years back. Because he matched the description of a suspect who's supposed to have robbed some woman. But he was in his SRO laying down in his bed. They almost shot him in his head. They had the gun point to his head. He took that and turned into a stage play, a little skit. So that's what we do. We just make these things aware in all different aspects through art, through poetry, through radio, through writing articles, through the stage plays. There's no limit because we have to really hustle to get our money in because we have and believe in the ideology, too, just to get off the slave master's grid completely, to buy our own land, to create our own school systems, to create our own housing, to be totally independent and interdependent of the system because you know there's no justice for us here. And can't nobody sit up here and tell me that I or my other people, my brothers and sisters out here, that you don't have that God-given right to be independent. If a system is not working for you, you take it upon yourself to make something work for yourself. And I have stones thrown at me, just in Tiny and Vivian and Lori and Missy and all these beautiful black and brown mamas. We have these stones cast at us because we think just like that. You're not doing something for nothing for us. We're going to do it for ourselves. You're killing off our men, our husbands, our sons with this police brutality. We're going to stand up for our husbands, our brothers, our sons, and our nephews and our cousins. You know, we're going to write a script about it. You know, because a lot of people might not want to listen to the real. Hey, so we got a stage play they like to come through. We do the music. We do the hip-hop. We do spoken word. We have a Valentine's poetry slam coming up in February. We make awareness of what we're going through, of these travesties, and educating, re-educating any kind of form you can think of. So there's no excuse why you're not learning. If you know about Queen 90, if you know about Tiny, if you know about Vivian, if you know about, you know, Leroy, you know, because we put the word out there about hook or by crook and have the blessings to go to different colleges. Teach the students there about, like we say, poverty scholarship.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Do you have, I have several opinions.
Yes, ma'am.
But do you travel? Do you, like, take it on the, I don't want to say on the road, but do you go around to different cities and do the same thing as far as the organizing aspects of the arts, the tools, in which like the arts, like the poetry thing, and then you have, like you said, the plays and the spoken words and that type of thing. Do you go travel to different cities to promote the same works?
Oh, yes, yes, ma'am, we do. And really, I'm not going to say it's sad, though. This is a blessing at the same time, but a lot of places, like, you know, we go to Detroit or Oregon, a lot of colleges and universities outside of California have requested for us, and we have been there to, like I said, to different colleges in and out of California, mostly outside of California. We were just at the United States Social Forum in Detroit, Michigan this past summer, and we performed out there. And so, yes, So we travel a lot. A lot of people call us up, hey, we want you to perform or share your curriculum with us or share your struggles, share the black experience, the brown experience, or however, you know, they ask us for a lot of different detail because of a lot of different experiences we go through. So, and we talk about, not just to go through, but what we talk about. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just, hey, anywhere you call us, hey, we there.
Okay, that sounds interesting. Well, let me ask you, what are your thoughts on, we already know as far as, how the system is and what the system does, but any recent cases that you're working on right now?
Right now, I'm tying up the loose ends of my, me personally, dealing with the juvenile justice system. Well, I like to say, this Wednesday that those charges that were filed were dropped against me because last year my cub was kidnapped from the home because, of the things that she had to go through, like with the poverty, and she had to deal with severe racism in the school. And, of course, she's a child, so she lashed out her kind of way. They criminalized her for that, kidnapped her for a while, and they wanted to get money from me. So they dropped those charges against me on Wednesday. I'm so thankful for that.
Well, that's
but right now, yeah, that's a true blessing. I said, I got a little bit of justice. But right now, we're working with, right now in particular, what I put aside my personal issues for, I put that aside right now. Right now, what we're working on is we're making little cards where you know your rights, and we're issuing these cards out to the children because we see all the children wearing the RIP cards around their neck. Okay, they got 15 of them. They lost 15 friends, 10 friends. Okay, we're going to flip the script. Put your rights around your neck instead of pictures of your dead friends. Let's see, know your rights. Let's start knowing some things that you should know. We're starting to re-educate the children and put it out there and just doing, we're doing footwork, we're doing soldier work, we're doing advocacy, and we're training the young men who don't have any criminal records in military combat. And we're getting all these things together because there's a lot of women out here in California, oh, yeah, they shoot the black women and children down like dogs, too. So, we have brothers that don't mind and have good paying records and are good disciplined young men that don't mind protecting women and children in their communities. And so we're educating them on that and what's violence and what's the codes of snitching, what does that mean, how do we deal with our own issues, because we're pushing that issue. We're pushing, our own little, our codes, our black law codes, whatever issues we're having, we're going to take it to the round table, we're going to take it to the elders. We're not going to call the police ever. So we don't make no police calls ever. And we're learning how, we're educating the children and the adults on how to deal with our own issues. Like I said, we're teaching them about our rights. That's the main thing that's going on until the Valentine's event. We're really pushing the issue on educating the youth and fighting the system for the youth because they don't have a voice in it. Their rights are being violated. A couple African-American children were kidnapped from their homes a few days before Christmas. 16-year-old Ronnie Howell, he was accused of stealing from a white man. He was actually flagging, he was chasing the white man down with his bag. Excuse me, sir, you lost your bag. And he ended up being arrested because the white man said, oh, you robbed me. So I've talked to a few people who've been actually kidnapped during and before the holidays, in which I told the child personally, that's not your holiday anyway, so don't even worry about it. He felt better. Told him about Kwanzaa, so, I had the privilege of talking with that child. But that's the main thing we're doing right now is just looking out for these kids and educating the children and some of their parents, too. Because a lot of parents don't know, and I'm a strong, firm believer in each one, teach one. That's the mission right now, each one, teach one.
Okay, well, I really want to know, on the terms of have you done research upon finding out, because I know for a fact in a lot of states, but I don't know about your particular state, do they get a certain amount for children to be, well, for not just children, but for us to be in the so-called concentration camps? do they get a certain percentage? Do they get like a higher percentage for doing their so-called holidays? So have you did any research upon
Well, the CPS system, period, you get $12,500 for each child removed, up to $21,000 for each child with disabilities removed up in the home. So with the this particular case with the two children, Ronnie Howell, and there was another young man who I was talking to, they were just, it was like an inconvenience. They were targeted because of their priors and their past and because of where they live.
Mm-hmm.
And one child, and Ronnie Howell, he was actually made a mockery of because his father, or would his father have been through the system? And so they said, well, which one are you? Are you him? Are you him? Or you've been to prison before, and he's actually the juvenile. And so that's why I say it's very important that we teach these children to break these cycles. It was just, you know, targeting and just, you know, being an inconvenience, knowing that these children didn't do anything. Control.
Go right ahead and finish your answer. Go ahead. I'm going to cut you off.
Oh, go ahead.
Could you speak to the there's a lot of talk now. All of us are not there in Cali, and so I want to get the on-the-ground report. There's a lot of talk of, I would say tribal warfare, the black against the Latino community and whatnot. This has been hyped up on Gangland and other places. Can you kind of speak to that? Is it media fluff? Is it a code of emergency? What's happening in Cali right now between the tribes?
Right now, I would say in Los Angeles, there was a propaganda put out there. That media propaganda that you just spoke upon was put out there in the media that caused the tribal warfare to go on in Los Angeles County, where there were a couple of cases to where there were Latino-on-black crimes and vice versa. But, you know, in here in San Francisco and in the Bay Area, it's everybody on everybody. It's mainly Latino-on-Latino crime and black-on-black crime as an opposed of each other. And to make it short, that they haven't really just failed for the, okay, let's turn against each other. Everybody pretty much know, as opposed to L.A. County, okay, this whole thing is set up. You know, we push that same thing too, you know, because like I said, it's Black and Brown Mamas and Poor Magazine. The majority of us are Black and Brown Mamas, and we push that issue. We push migrant mamas to tell their stories too, as well as, you know, black mamas to tell their stories also. So, you know, we do the best that we can to you know, destroy that stereotype, destroy that lie, you know, that we're supposed to be put against each other in order to gain the few little crumbs that the white man going to throw to us anyway. So, but like in Los Angeles County, yes, you know, it was known to be true, but not to the extent as the media would like to put it, and it's trying to instigate it to go further. And as opposed to in the Bay Area, they tried that with the black and Asian communities too, and that was not too much successful, which that's a blessing. That wasn't too much successful, but the media really did try to hype it up to something to where it could have blown over had not it been people like, you know, Tiny, myself, and other advocates that just stepped in and was like, hey, don't believe the hype. So, yes.
Okay, I appreciate that because, like I say, there's a lot of course, propaganda and media spin on what's going on. We just wanted to kind of get the on-the-ground report. You know, if it was a state of emergency, I mean, naturally it's a state of emergency anyway in the black nation, but I just wanted to know what the hell was going on. So
yes, we're on life support right now. But one of the things I did want to speak upon, because I know I have one of a critic is somebody that just don't have nothing to do with their time to sit there and look at me and got something to say. But like Mama said, they talked about Jesus. But yes, one of the things on a personal note, and a few other women of different nationalities. I had one Caucasian woman come to me. I had three other African mothers come to me. I had one Latina mother come to me. One of the issues about how, you know, I was criticized for being anti-gay or anti-transgender, you know, and I had to put it out there, and I will put it out there. It's not about being anti-against anything. What it's about is that it's about us as a, I'm as a woman, a black woman, and still fighting for the rights for my brothers and my sisters to stop what I'm doing, to pay attention to somebody else's struggle. I'm not saying nobody else's struggle is important, but here it is, though. Here's the catch to it. You fight and hold hands with any other class for any of their other oppressions, your rights get pushed to the back. And like mamas like me, myself personally, I was terminated from a woman, from a, well, a transgender woman who say, look, you know, I don't know how it is to be a mother. Your baby was sick. You didn't show up for your trainer, so therefore we have to let you go. I don't know what it is to be a mother, but you want to be a woman so much, but you just got rid of me because you say you don't know what it is to have a sick child because you're not a mother. See what I'm saying? That's one of the issues, too, out here in California. That is, we're not anti-anything. But how are you going to clean out somebody else's house and ain't nobody cleaning and helping you to clean up yours?
That's real.
Don't mistake that as me being anti-anything. I'm not cleaning up nobody else's house unless my house is spick and span. Then I'm going to help my sister clean up her house. Then I'm going to help my elder sister, who's in the wheelchair, to clean up her house, too, before I worry about that issue. So it's a lot of that going on, too. I just want to speak upon that. It's not about anti-nothing. It's not about hate. I understand the condition of the system. That's why I'm not walking around here bitter.
Right.
When you
so
hate,
what
you walk
say?
Around
what,
bitter,
what,
you know?
What? I'm sorry. What do you say to the integrationist movement? Because that goes in line with the
integration.
What do you say about the integrationist movement right now?
Integration as far as what? As far as genders or the
as
cultures?
As far as our people being integrated into the system or integrating into their society, to taking their women, taking their men, what do you say?
Because my opinion, integrating anything is not good for us. It never have been. It did more harm than good when we want to integrate with something. Just like, let's just take the school system for an instance. Everybody, okay, we want to go to the white schools because they have better books and things like that. Integrating did more harm for the black community than good. Because what happened was, okay, all the schools in the black neighborhoods were closed down. All the teachers who were teaching the children about the black experience, they lost their jobs. So, and as far as the system and integrating the system is not going to help change the system. Integrating to anything, to me, is just like having that, well, if you can't beat them, join them attitude. Integrating to anything for us has never been good. But getting the seeds out there and making the point and making it be aware that we must lock ourselves down within ourselves, for ourselves, by ourselves, no help from nobody whatsoever to take care of this sickness and to take care and to get our people off life support and to put the CPR upon a black nation correct. For us to integrate with anything or anybody has never benefited us. It only benefited the person that they manipulated us to integrate with. That's my opinion, brother.
Well, I'm right there with you. Why do you think it is? Now, we're coming up now, of course, with your presence and some others there on the West Coast. Why do you think it is that it's taken the Panther so long to reformulate and re-rise on the left coast or the West Coast? Why do you think it's been so slow?
Well, I'm just going to be real with it. A lot of folks sold out. A lot of folks sold out. Some folks got high. Once they got free, they got high. And a lot of folks became comfortable with their oppression. But like I say, I'm going to take it from a personal note. I'm going to throw my opinion out there, and then I'm going to tell you about the footwork that I put in. A lot of people who I've interacted in on the Bay Area and abroad, a lot of people, like I say, on the East Coast, down south, whatever, oh, I don't have no problems down there. But a lot of folks, you know, my West Coast folks, you know, we got to wake up, folks, smell that coffee. Try to tell them a lot of folks are scared. Well, if you fight for your rights, well, they're going to lose this. He's in, because they say, okay, why they didn't control this? We're going to lose a job, we're going to lose a house. Okay, whatever door closed, brothers and sisters, go. Another one gonna open. Maybe two, hell, three, four more might open up. It's that fear and it's that Willie Lynch syndrome too. That we got to get rid of that self hatred. This is what I'm seeing. This is the spirits that I feel from my brothers and sisters. Quite a few who I've interacted with, and try to just tell them, look, there is another way. Look, wake up, smell, get rid of that Willie Lynch syndrome. Hey, anything is possible. I don't want to hear that. Oh, I don't want to hear this. Or I don't want to hear that. Or, you know, it's just time. You know, wake up and smell the coffee.
Right, right. Looking back at our history and our herstory, what would you say that some of our mistakes was? Now, we talked about integration, but I just want to kind of explore it a little bit. What would you say some of the mistakes was of maybe the civil rights movement, maybe even some of our pioneers and elders in the Black Panther Party of the 1960s? What would you say some of the mistakes was looking back or looking black now today?
Yeah, the mistakes that we need to learn from that was made yesterday is don't allow for yourself. Like I said, we're going to go back to hold hands with folks. We shall overcome, or women's lib, or gay rights, or union rights, whatever category you want to say right on to and for. We always allow for folks to use us. That's why I say lock us, it's time for a lockdown for us, by us, only us. Because we always allow for somebody to come in to manipulate us. Okay, you scratch our back, we scratch yours. And we always allow for somebody to use us. And we always end up fighting on the front line for somebody else's rights. And at the end of the day, there's nothing for us. And then I think also, in my opinion, too, that, you know, we allow for a lot of things to slide through the cracks. A lot of us have actually forgotten about the struggle. Don't want to talk about the struggle. Don't want to talk about the slavery. We don't want to bring up the past. But you got to bring up the past. In order to know where you're going, you got to know where you came from. And so a lot of people, like I say, became complacent. And just allow for so much to slide through the cracks. Okay, we got a little bit of our freedom. And then now let's just let everybody else get theirs. And what happened is, the more, it ain't about shutting nobody out or being mad at nobody else or no other nation because they're doing what they need to do. But it's about not allowing for you and your nation to be overrun. We too busy fighting for their rights and all this integrating and ebony and ivory and coming out with all these little songs. Just put in your mind, okay, everything is okay now. Because if you look around, everything is not everything. Everything is not okay. So a lot of folks became complacent, and they became comfortable with their oppression and allowed for a lot of things to slide through the cracks. That's why it seemed like basically we're back to square one. It's like we're not going. We only went a little bit forward. We went two steps forward. Now we're six steps back. You know, like I said, it's just all about those who choose not to be enlightened, those who choose not to be down with the black nation, just move out the way and allow for those who are down with the liberation of their people's minds and their spirits. We're just not talking about the flesh. Move your behind out the way. Go ahead, label master or crawl underneath a rock, whatever it is you do. I'm not judging. But just move out the way and let those who are doing something keep on keeping on and help out the black nation and help out our people. Because like I said, that laziness, complacency, allowing for so many things to slide through the cracks, getting a little bit of crumbs, and then now you want the whole loaf of bread, but you only protested for the crumbs in the first place, so you can't expect nobody to throw you a whole loaf of bread. All these things is one of many aspects of what's stagnating the rise of the black nation right now. And for the sisters, we the first teachers. We got to raise up too. You got to raise up too. Can't look at it. I look for the man for the protection, but I have to be the foundation. I have to be the nurturer. Everybody got to play their part. It ain't about doing what you want to do. It's about doing what you're supposed to do. Because, like I say, the black nation is on life support, and that's not nothing to joke about. If you're not with it, move on to the side. But then don't put your fists up in the air perpetrating a fraud, acting like you didn't put something down, but you sitting over here sleeping with master's children. No, either you are or you're not. it is what it is. And see, and I'm going to be honest about it. It is what it is. We need to stop allowing for so many these things to happen and stop allowing for so many people to use us and to misuse us. And to those who want to sell out for those little bitty crumbs, just ask yourself, what is it to profit a man to gain the whole world and lose a soul?
And, you know, well, Quinn, I have a question for you, a quick one. What is your thoughts on sexism in the movement?
Excuse me, say that again, sister.
What are your thoughts on sexism in the movement?
Well, it goes back to what people do, what they're supposed to do. You got to honor that woman. Who these men think they come from? The revolution and the struggle of the people, of any people, not just blacks, browns, yellows, reds, others, whoever. It ain't got nothing to do with what you got in your underwear. It got to do with a lot of the spirit because, like, let's go back in time to Africa. Hey, when the king had to go away for 3 or 4 months, who you think ran that queendom? I say that with a K-W-E-E-D-O-M, king and queen. Who you think held that fort while the king was out there gone for 3 months? How could that? See, that's one of the things, if you're going to be in, if you are in the struggle, if you are a re-evolutionary, you cannot be hollering about equality for black people, but then you got something against your sister. You came from a woman, so that this sexism shouldn't even exist, especially as far as within the movement, within the struggle. How is you practicing any isms when you try to eliminate all the isms that's known to man? There should be no, all that, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sister. Finish your answer.
All that with a woman standing in the background, no. No, that's not it. That's not it. Man, the king stands side by side right next to that queen. And nobody's better, like I said, because of what you got in your underwear. That don't make nobody better. That's the necessary tools we need to build the nation. We're not supposed to be against each other. You're supposed to be. We built the nation when we got with your underwear, your bond, you got a union going on, and you built the nation with you got the underwear. You don't. Those are not the weapons to be against each other. So, like I said, sexism should be non-existent, especially if you're fighting for something. You call yourself being in the movement.
Okay, sister, second part to that question. Have you experienced any of that since you've been doing this work?
Yes, ma'am, I have. Just a little bit, but like I said, I just corrected, just like I said, how could you be in the struggle and you're practicing the ism? Like motherism, sexism, racism, how you're practicing anything? Because when we're enlightening the black nation, there's nothing racist about Brother Malik Shabazz's message to the black nation. There's nothing racist about what I have to say. There's nothing racist about what Sister Renee Owens has to say. That's to uplift our people. So for anybody, like I said, the so-called be in the movement and practice of ism, you need to correct yourself. You need to look in the mirror and do a self-check. Correct yourself. Because, and that's what I experienced. That's the same thing, Sister, what I'm telling to you and all those who are listening out there, that's the same thing I told that brother. And it was a brother. And then, of course, you know, we get it from the others because I'm telling too much like right. Of course, you get it now is that the isms from the others or the other races, the racism and the sexism. Who does Black B think she is? She's going to say, who I think I am. I'm Queen Nadia. I'm just serving the people. If I know something, I'm going to teach you about it. If I know you got rights and the police sit up here going upside your head, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to let that be known. And for anybody to look after their own is intelligence, but for some reason, and we all know the reason out there, y'all, for some reason, when we look out for each other, it's a threat. No, I call it intelligence. And see,
well,
you know, and so, like I said, my person,
I would disagree with you. Go right ahead.
And see, that's, like I said, you know, that happened to me. In my personal experience, and that's how I nipped it in the bud, just with being honest about it. But see, the racism, you know, that goes way deep in my roots. You know, of course, you know, with the N-word and then dealing with the whole, with people and then the system itself, you know. And I like I said, I overcome everything with truth. I don't overcome everything with hate. But those who have the hatred for us are the ones who get upset because the truth hurts.
Right.
But that's how you nip that in the bud.
Straight up. Straight up. Well, we got a few minutes left in this
okay.
show, and I know that we got a lot of new activists, revolutionary black nationalists, and revolutionary Pan-Africans, and just people that are trying to find themselves. What would you say in closing to the new ones that are coming up, those that are still out in the streets like we were? What would you say to them in your final thoughts?
My final thoughts will be to those who are still out there is to keep in mind that Jesus hung out with people just like us, out there on the corners, out there in the streets, the ones who gave up on life. He didn't hang out with no rich white folks sitting up there clinging silverware to silver cups and drinking, having tea time. No, that's not the case. So you keep on in this struggle and don't allow for the things that you're going through to shortchange where you're headed. Take it as a learning experience and be grateful for, and don't make no excuses for who you are, and you be grateful, because when you be grateful, you add fuel to your greatness. Because I was out there on the streets, and there were a lot of us that was out there on the streets. You had to get some kind of testimony some kind of way from the streets, but I'm glad I had a mama that was there to say, don't forget who you are. And it may be hard. Sometimes some folks, you don't want to accept it. You accept it. Because I'm telling you, like I said, we're on life support right now. This is a life and death situation. Think about it like that and think about the lives of who we are going to save. We're not going to be here when it happens. But make sure that you don't allow for your shortcomings to make you stumble. Just keep on going. Trust your instincts. Hey, and fight the powers. Y'all get out there, y'all organize. Look, I don't judge nobody. Y'all get out there, y'all organize. Help these old, help your elders, help the youngins, get it together. It don't matter what background you have. I don't care if you sell 6 apples a day. Just do your part, no matter how little it is, no matter how big. And just, you know, keep on fighting the powers.
Definitely. Well, Sister Queen Nanda, we appreciate you here at Black Power Radio, and just want you to know that your family, the new Black Panther Party, under the leadership of Dr. Antonio Malik Zulu Shabazz, we got your back. We can't wait to touch down in San Fran, turn over some soil, and raise our black fist high, put the programs to the people. And so we thank you for your time that you spent here on Black Power Radio with us, sister.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. It was such a blessing. Such a blessing. Look out now. Just getting started.
All right, and so is there a way that the people can contact you, or email, or they can contribute to Poor Magazine? Can you give us your contact?
Yes, just go to Poor, www.poor magazine. That's in poor people, because we poor as heck. poormagazine.org, and we have the website there hooked up for you. You can click on if you want to be a sponsor. You know, because like I said, we are very serious about this interdependence mission. We don't say independence, interdependence, because we got to enter this. We got to enter this because we've been so dependent for so long. So we got to enter into this independent mode. So we don't get no support, no nonprofits. We no poverty pimps, the Ford Foundation, nobody, nobody. So just go to poormagazine.org, or you can look me up underneath my good name on Facebook, Kimberly Swan. I'm the sister there. With my hero's pose on it, the Malcolm X pose when he's in the window with the rifle, because I felt like the sister had to do it too. And what that symbolizes is that rifle is my man. Because when I wake, then when until when my man wake up, the sister don't need that rifle no more. So you can look me up, Kimberly Swan, on Facebook. Like I said, poormagazine.org. You know, check us out. And hey, fight the power, black power.
Fight the power. Black power.
Black power.
Black power. Black power.
Appreciate you so much, Sister Queen Nandi. And as always, you know that you family. Again, once again, thank you so much. And we'll see you on the battlefield, Queen.
Oh, sure enough. We'll be on the battlefield. Boots laced up now, y'all.
Black power, comrade.
Black power.
And so there it is. That is our sister, BLA, Sister Queen Nandi. Wow, I'm telling you all. If you had any sexist idea in your head at all, and you believe that the queens couldn't represent, just listening to our national assistant and listening to Sister Queen Nandi, our comrade there on the left coast, it should all change right now. And so for those of you, especially our sisters, who are interested in this mission, interested in this movement, you heard the words that Sister Queen Nandi spoke, and you believe them to be true and good for us as a people, we ask that you support us. You go to our website. You can go to newblackpanther.com. That's newblackpanther.com. And you can email us at nbpphq@yahoo.com. No, right now, email us at nbpphq@yahoo.com. Leave your information, the way we can get in touch with you, and we will build up, just like Sister Queen Nandi said, right there in your area, and make a difference where everything else has failed. Our organizational efforts, our organizing as a people has not failed. The last thing we have not tried to solve our problems as a nation is unity. Let us unify. Let us come together. Let us solve our basic needs and our wants, and let us stop being a tool and a fool for white people and our white oppressors, and let us love each other. And so until next time, dear family, we thank you for listening to Black Power Radio. We ask that you join us. Join us again this Monday. Join us again this Monday for another power-packed edition of Black Power Radio. Much love to you, and nothing but struggle. Nothing but struggle, and it's freedom or death straight ahead, like Matulu said, and we out of here. Black power.
Until the philosophy, which old one race superior and another inferior, is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until there are no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. Miss a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. Miss a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality, will remain but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now everywhere is war. War. And until the ignoble and unhappy regime that hold our brothers in Angola, in Mozambique, South Africa, by human bondage, have been toppled, totally destroyed. Well, everywhere is war. War in the east, war in the west, war up north, war down south, war, war, rumors of a war. And until that day, the African continent will not know peace. We find it necessary, and we know we shall win. in the victory of good over evil.